Good to see you guys this morning. I'm really excited to be here, be able to share. But I couldn't share without having just a moment of worship and just looking at the Lord and starting sharing by, you know, giving Him glory. So I wanted to sing a song that I actually wrote. So I'm going to be sharing about this later, but just to kind of spoiler a little bit, at Triangle Prayer Room in Raleigh, and I actually get to write songs from the Bible every day, just about. And so this song I was going to play with you all and worship with, it comes out of a verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. We've got it right here on the screen. Awesome. And it says, "Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes." And just a little context for that. There's a few different lens and layers to the Song of Solomon, different ways you can look at it and read it. And one of those, obviously, is Solomon. It's an intimate love song between Solomon and his bride. But it's also a picture of the love that Jesus, the bridegroom, has for his church, the bride, and for us individually. And so when I read this specific verse is Solomon, or the bridegroom, saying this to his beloved, his bride. So this is Jesus saying this to us and saying, "Behold, you're fair, my love, you're fair." And when he says you have dove's eyes, what's really interesting about doves is the way God made them, they can't look to the left or the right. The way their head's positioned, if they're looking straight ahead, they can only see straight ahead. And so symbolically, when Jesus says you have dove's eyes, he's saying like the same way he sees us, he only has eyes for us, and he's saying that about us too. It's like, I've created you to only have eyes for me, to not be distracted by any other lover, to only love me and see me. So he's calling that out of us even while we're still growing in love and wrestling through this life. So I wrote that song while we were actually singing it and worshiping from it in the prayer room. So you're welcome to stand. You don't have to, but did want to invite you, just even though this is a new song, to worship the Lord from where you are. But yeah, Father, we just say thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're here. God, I can't start talking about you and about prayer without going to you and praying. So I just say thank you, Father, for your presence here this morning. Lord, we just ask that you'd be glorified. I just pray for every person here, Lord, that you'd just open the eyes of our hearts to see you more, to see you rightly. We pray that your word would speak to us. And we say we love you, Jesus. There's a fire that's burning in your eyes, in your eyes. And you're looking at me with those eyes, those beautiful eyes. I can see my reflection in your eyes, in your eyes. I'm getting lost in your beauty, and I realize that you love me like this all the time. You tell me I have done the kind that don't look left or right. And so I fix my heart's eyes on the beauty of Jesus Christ. I can see my reflection in your eyes, in your eyes, Jesus. And I'm getting lost in your beauty. And I realize that your heart burns for me all the time. You tell me I have dove's eyes, the kind that don't look left or right. And so I fix my heart's eyes on the beauty of Jesus Christ. You tell me I have dove's eyes, the kind that don't look left or right. And so I fix my heart's eyes on the beauty of Jesus Christ. You keep me in a transfixed gaze. Oh, why would I look away when I see your face? You keep me in a transfixed gaze. Oh, why would I look away when I see your face, Jesus? You keep me in a transfixed gaze. Oh, why would I look away when I see your face? You keep me in a transfixed gaze. 'Cause why would I look away when I see your face? You say, behold, 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 you are fair, my love. Behold, 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 you are fair, my love. And you tell me I have dove's eyes, the kind that don't look left or right. And so I fix my heart's eyes on the beauty of Jesus Christ. Amen. This mic real quick. Kurt doesn't have long hair like I do, so it might be a little different. All right, well, good morning, everybody. I've got myself a timer here, so I'll try to stick to my run sheet. I scheduled it out so I wouldn't go over time for you guys. Can you hear me? Awesome. Cool. I feel like a member of NSYNC wearing this. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Yes, so I'm really excited to share with you all. Most of you all know me, watched me grow up here. So this, you all are really special, and this, you know, I grew up in this church and really thankful because, you know, having an amazing family and church family that loves the Lord and being able to grow up here, God was really kind to me to just give me a foundation of seeking Him first and a value for the Word of God and letting that be the one thing, the primary thing that's most important. But really, some of y'all know, when I went to college at Campbell University, that's when, you know, for me personally, there's a big shift in my walk with Jesus and everything changed. 2014, I went to Campbell as a freshman, and the Lord's just sovereign hand was upon my life, and where He placed me
with the right people at the right time. And he did so much in my college years. And really, even first semester, just placed me with people who were so in love with the Lord, on fire for him, and would just seek his face and pray for God to move on Campbell's campus. And it was being around those types of people in that environment where prayer was so valued, and the people would seek after God with all their heart, that I was really transformed. It was in the place of prayer and praying with college students and seeing God answer those prayers. We saw so many college students get saved, get discipled, and make more disciples. And we saw like powerful moments where the whole campus was turned upside down and hundreds of testimonies came out of it. And so it was during that time that God grabbed a hold of my heart, and I saw what he can do when his people will gather together and pray, seek his face, seek his word, to be led by him. What's your will, Lord? We want to do it. What do you want to do on our campus? And we would just gather, sometimes just two of us, sometimes at 5 a.m., just to pray. And we would have concentrated times of prayer and fasting. And we'd see God break in on campus, and the gospel would move in power. And it was an amazing time as a college student. And where I feel spoiled, honestly, with my college experience is what's happening in my generation. So many that are raised in a Christian home are coming to college as a freshman. And by the end of their first year, I think 90% are turning away from the Lord. And it's crazy. So for me, I hear that, and I'm like, if God can grab a hold of me as a freshman, he can do it with anyone. And so I have to say yes to seeing my generation fall in love with Jesus, and I refuse to let that statistic be the normal. And so God grabbed a hold of me with that desire. 2019, I graduated from Campbell in May. And around that time, I met my amazing fiance. We are now, she's now my fiance, so we're soon to be married. Wedding coming soon, everybody. We actually met in our campus ministry, but the Lord had put it on my heart to gather the students together to pray. And because I saw God answer prayer powerfully, and I was like, we as students have to pray for our fellow classmates if we want to see God move. And so every week on Thursdays, we would, I don't know if the slides are going to work. But we would do what we called it Campus House of Prayer. Every Thursday, we'd gather in my living room. Students would come in. We'd have worship similar to that, just a guitar. Somebody would lead. And we would get specific scriptures. We'd pray them for Campbell. And then at the very end, we'd pray for one another. We'd put the new person in the middle in the hot seat, and we'd pray for them. And so it was a really powerful time. We saw a lot of people just get so hungry for the Lord. Just gathering in the living room, just beside campus. And so we called it Campus House of Prayer, and we saw God continue to disciple people in the place of prayer. And so it was really during that time that God grabbed a hold of my heart. And I'd graduated, and I was like, well, I've got to find a job. I've got to work now. I have a degree. I've got to do something. But the Lord had grabbed hold of me. This hunger for prayer and to see God move in my generation. And I was like, I have to respond to this somehow. So I found a job working at State Employees for a while. The schedule was cool, so it allowed me time to work full time, but also be with students. And then it was a job. It was good for about a year, and then the Lord would move me to other jobs. And throughout the first few years after graduating, it was a journey finding work and also trying to serve the body of Christ in the way that I felt called to. And it was about a year ago, deep friends of mine, close friends of mine, felt the Lord call them to build a house of prayer, a place where people, the church all across Raleigh, would unite, gather together to pray and seek his face. And friends that I knew that were responding to that. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing opportunity. And I was able to start being a little bit while I was working and serve. But the more I would go and see the Lord move, and just like, this is my heartbeat. This is what I want to do. I felt him tugging at my heart and say, I want you to serve full time and jump into this. And so, Yes, so that term, you might have seen it on the screen earlier, an intercessory missionary. It's, in a short version, it's someone who says, I will stand and pray full time to see the Lord come to my city, to see him come to my generation. And where we see that in Scripture, in the house of prayer, day and night prayer, just to kind of shift gears a little bit, to look at the look at the Bible and the story of throughout Scripture. I made some handouts, and I could do like a, if there's so much in the Bible about it, I could do like a 4 or 5 part teaching series, but I just decided to print out a little handout you can take home with you, and I'll just cover the high notes right now. But, you know, the Lord says in Isaiah 56:7, the Father says, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And we see the Lord's heart for this. Going as far back as David, he was called the man after God's own heart. And he was the king who so loved the Lord that God anointed him. And it was because his secret place, when no one was looking, he was just a little shepherd boy. He'd play his whatever instrument, his harp or whatever, and have his little Torah scroll, you know, and just get in the Scriptures and sing them to God. And all these psalms would come out of that place. And God grabbed a hold of his heart when no one was looking. He said, I want to reproduce this in my people. And so he raised him up as king. And David was so in love with the Lord and wanted to see his will be done in his generation in Israel that he's like, God, I want to build you a house. And so as soon as he's made king over Jerusalem, he does this epic thing. He brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He sets up this huge tent, and he hires thousands upon thousands of singers, musicians, and he has them sing. He has them gather around the tabernacle in the presence of God in this tent and sing and pray and sing these songs. All these psalms came out of it that we read in the Bible. But they would do that day and night. They would not stop. And so David was kind of a pioneer in that way. Like God, he was a man after God's own heart, and he saw this desire in God's heart. It's like, I want to dwell with my people. Will you make a resting place for me? And we read about that in 1 and 2 Samuel and David's life. And the Lord himself says, my house is going to be a house of prayer where all the nations come together. And then we fast forward. We see that same heart in the New Testament, in the heart of Jesus. You're probably familiar with the story of when Jesus goes into the temple and he flips the tables. It's a really exciting scene in the New Testament. But what I just recently saw and learned about that story is when we read it, there's a few different gospels that tell the story. But some gospels say that Jesus, he went into the temple, he flipped the tables because in the outermost court where the merchants and the all those people were selling things. It was the outermost court was actually the way the temple was set up. It was where the Gentiles were supposed to come in to pray, because you had a specific court for the women and the children and the Jews, and then you had the Gentiles. The all nations were meant to come to that house to pray, and Jesus knew that about his Father. That his Father was like I want my family of all nations. So it says that when the disciples saw Jesus flip the tables, they were reminded of the scripture that says, zeal for my house has consumed me. So that's the heart of Jesus. Like, he's burning with a zealous fire for his people to be able to gather together. And these merchants were in the way. So he's flipping tables. Like, I can't have this in my Father's house. His house is a house of prayer for all nations. And so we see that in the heart of Jesus. And then he leaves the disciples with instructions right before he ascends. In the book of Acts, he says, not many days from now, my Father is going to pour out his Spirit. He's going to do the promise of the Father, it says. And so he says, go, don't leave Jerusalem. Go and pray until this happens. And so in Acts, we see the disciples, they gather together, it says, in one accord, and they prayed until it happened. And then the Lord, we know the story, the day of Pentecost, he pours out his Spirit. And that's when the church really grew. We saw thousands of people saved. But what we also see is prayer didn't stop. In Acts chapter 2, the saints, after Peter's amazing sermon, the saints continued to gather daily, it says, and pray. And each day that the Lord would add numbers to the church. So God was using prayer for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And last point on that, we see in heaven a picture of day and night. There's no night, but we see nonstop worship happening around the throne of God. And we see it in the book of Revelation, when John, the beloved disciple, he has this encounter with the Lord where he's taken to the throne room in heaven. You see in Revelation 4 and 5, he sees the four living creatures singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And it says they do not stop day or night singing this song. You have the 24 elders, and it's this worship like order, you could say. It's so centered around God, it doesn't stop, and they're singing. There's these saints that have harps, and it also says there's these golden bowls in Revelation 5 that are filled with incense, which is the prayers of the saints. And so around the throne, we see worship and prayer that doesn't stop, and they go hand in hand. And why am I saying all this? Well, today and in recent history, day and night prayer is something that God's doing. Like in 1980, I think there's a article I was reading about some of the history and the stats about the prayer movement. But I think as recent as 1980, there were maybe only a dozen known groups who were seeking 24/7 prayer in some expression across the globe. But now there are at least 20,000 groups. Just since 1980, the Lord has emphasized that to the body of Christ so much, it's exploding across the earth in every nation. Just about, there's houses of prayer even in the hardest and darkest places that the Lord's raising up, and he's multiplying this all across the earth, doing day and night prayer for his people who gather and seek his face and host his presence in their country, in their city. And so so I believe that the Lord is highlighting this for such a time as this. Even in Raleigh, there's a bunch of different saints that, you know, and members of the body of Christ in different churches who the Lord has highlighted and said, "Hey, will you build day and night prayer in this city for me?" And this is really where Triangle Prayer Room came. So what is Triangle Prayer Room? Let me share about that. It is a place for sustained prayer and worship. It serves the Raleigh-Durham region, and it brings together. There's so many different churches that gather together and pray. So it's really like a parachurch ministry where churches from Durham, from Garner, from all these different cities in the area around Central North Carolina gather together in one place throughout the week and pray and worship. And they have teams where they lead live worship and lead prayer for Raleigh, for Israel, for what God's doing right now, what's happening with our current issues in society, everything. We're gathering together weekly to pray with different teams. And so for the prayer room, what we do for the individual, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, we open up this space for individuals to come and sit before the Lord in a sanctuary like this, but where we have music that's playing, we have worship music, and they can come and sit with their Bibles, like moms that are able to fit in their schedule a time to get away and get with the Lord for 30 minutes can come in and sit and get their hearts recharged with God's presence. And then for the region, like I was sharing, we offer those live worship sets. So it's bringing the presence of the Lord, and it's making a place for the church at large in Raleigh to gather together and have a place to worship him and pray, just like we see in Scripture. So what am I personally doing with the prayer room? We have actually, this is really exciting, we have what we call a children's equipping center. And so we have kids that come in, ages 5 to 12 years old, and their moms will bring them, and the moms will come and they'll sit in the room. They'll have a worship set. One of the people on staff will be leading a set for all the women to sit and worship the Lord. And we'll take the kids to a separate part of the building, and we'll actually teach them. We'll get them in the Bible. We'll get them singing songs, praying. And so we are actually discipling, it's aiming at the 8-year-olds, saying we want to, this is the next generation, so we want to raise up and train and teach these kids to lead and to stand for the Lord, even at a young age. And we don't want to water it down for the kids. We want them to learn and get this in their heart. And so we're teaching kids every Monday and Wednesday during the summer while they're out of school. me and Ben, he oversees the prayer room. We work together, and I'll write original songs. We'll teach the kids. We've been doing one about the Lord's Prayer. And so I'll sing, "You are our Father in heaven." And the kids will sing, "You are our Father." And they'll like repeat it after me. And it gets the kids singing, and they're actually learning how to pray the Lord's Prayer through these songs. And so I love being a part of that. Of course, there's each week the live prayer and worship sets where people come in. We have sets that are different types. We have worship with the word, where kind of like with the Song of Solomon, we'll have about an hour and a half where we go to that scripture, and each week we'll do a different part of the Bible of that book in the Bible, and we'll read that scripture. We'll have somebody leading in prayer, reading from that Bible, that book, and we'll have the singers and the musicians singing it, and they get new songs. They sing songs that people know already that are connecting to the scriptures, and it causes the word to come alive in people's hearts. And then we have those times of intercession where we're going after a certain topic or a certain people group in prayer, where we're getting people on the mic praying, and we're agreeing and worshiping and saying, "Lord, come to Raleigh," whatever we're going after. And then the last thing is, of course, songwriting. It's really something that the Lord's activated in my heart. As a college student in the place of worship and prayer, we look at these scriptures and we start worshiping the Lord with our instruments, and these songs will come forth, and we'll just write them, and next thing you know, everybody in the room is singing this new song that we just wrote. And so there's lots of songwriting that happens just about every day that we're there. And so, yes, that is what I'm personally doing. And so just some testimonies really quick. With the kids, I was sharing this with Ruth recently, but there's one little boy, his name is Jonah, and he comes there with his siblings. There's like four of them, and they're there at the Children's Equipping Center every day that we have it. This kid, Jonah, he's always the most engaged. He is like there, he's answering all the questions, he's praying, he's singing his guts out every time we're there, and he's grown. We've seen him grow so much in the Lord. He's like, at the very end, we always finish with praying for a certain group, whether it be your lost friends, a lost family member that needs to be saved, or you're praying for your mom, you're praying for your parents. And he's just learned how to pray his guts out for, like, the most recent time, he's just praying that, like, I was like, "Man, I wish I could pray like that for my mom." Like, he was praying for his mom. It was like, wow, it was so powerful. So we're seeing these kids, they're getting it, and they're praying and getting understanding of the Bible, and these songs are getting them in their heart. Another story. I had a picture, it's okay, that I can show you if you want to come see it later. But a lady who came to the prayer room for one of the times of weekly prayer we have, she came in, and she came in with her cane. But she was super hungry. She knew the lady who was leading that day, and she was excited to be in the prayer room and worship and pray. We were talking with her afterwards, because we love to connect with the people that are new when they come and just encourage them and pray for them. So we were praying for this lady. I think her name was Selena. And we're praying just a scripture that we felt the Lord say, "Hey, like, pray this for Selena." So we're praying for her, and felt like the Lord wanted to heal her of her whatever was causing her to need a cane. We prayed for her, it seemed like she was really touched by what the Lord was doing in that moment. Heard from our friend who led that set later the next week, that same day she'd went home to her home. She has a pond, apparently. She loves to go for walks around. But she this time she's like, "You know what? I'm gonna try to walk without my cane." She put it down and she walked just fine, and she's completely healed. She was able to walk without a cane from that moment forward. She's totally, totally, completely healed. It was amazing. And so we see people coming in and encountering the Lord that we're able to pray for them and encourage them. No matter like who you are, like, come in. If you don't know the Lord, we'll share the gospel with you, you know. So it's not just a place that's contained. We're actually encouraging people to go out, preach the gospel, and bring people in, you know, so we can love on them and pray for them. But yes, those are just some testimonies. We see God move in powerful ways each week. But yes, so that's what's happening at Triangle Prayer Room. So I think Glenda was super kind to put a flyer in each of your bulletins. She's amazing. She does so much. I'm thankful for her. But I, being able to do this and answer this invitation from the Lord, it couldn't happen without partners and without your support. So I, just in different ways to partner, of course you can pray for me. I'm in a prayer room, so I'm able to pray for you all, but I also need prayer. So we really love you guys to lift me up and keep Triangle Prayer Room in your prayers. God's really doing so much, but you know, when you're trying to follow the will of the Lord, sometimes it gets tough and there's obstacles and pushback and whatever that may look like. But yes, keep us in your prayers. And obviously a way is giving. We in the prayer room, we're building support teams where we can connect with you all and individually would love to get to know you. If you want to join my support team monthly, I'd love to get to know your heart and how I can pray for you. I like to keep a journal of every person that supports and get to know who they are and ways I can pray for them, because I'm in a prayer room 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. I have that time to be able to pray and cover you all in prayer. So, but yes, would love to connect with you all. And if you want to hear more about how to partner with me, those flyers, they have pretty clear instructions on there. But if you need help, I'll be happy to show you afterwards. Ruth can show you. There's a QR code. If you know how to use those, if you have a smartphone, you just pull out your camera app, point it at the QR code, and it opens up the website where you go and you set up the giving. But yes, and the last way is, if you know anybody where this is like their heart, this is something that they love, prayer, they're excited about the House of Prayer or anything I was mentioning, I would love if you could connect me with them. I'd love to share my heart with them and invite them into what God's doing in Raleigh. So, but yes, amen. Thank you all. that was everything. I actually think I was super short on time. I still have like, I think 6 minutes. Does anyone have any questions or anything? I could do that.
Hey, Jacob, just real quick.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Jacob had a really nice presentation, and it seems like coincidentally our projector decided to that might be its last day. So I will put the presentation up on the internet and make sure everyone has access to that. So sorry about that.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for all your help. Yes. And I'll be happy to show it to you. If you want to see it afterwards, you can come get me. I can show you on my laptop right here. I put some pictures on here for you. That's a great question. Yes, so we there's a church that is amazing. They've partnered with us, and they're serving us by hosting us. It's a church, Garner Christian Fellowship. So they're in the city of Garner, which is one of those cities, kind of like Cary, if you're familiar with the Raleigh area. There's a lot of cities that neighbor the Raleigh area. So Garner is where we're located. It's just right there beside Raleigh. It's off the highway. It's a good parking lot. So there's plenty of it's easy access for everyone. We keep the doors open, and it's a nice space for us. We were in a church in Cary, and so we're always trying to expand. Our goal is to be day and night and have easy access for anybody to come whenever it fits their schedule. And we're adding people to staff, and it's growing. The hours are growing, but yes, for. In this season, we're at Garner Christian Fellowship, a church in Garner, and just off the highway there, so it's easy to get to. Anyone else have any questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, I'm not much on QR codes or barcodes or anything.
Me neither.
Do you have to have a website address? And it says that if you use the QR code, it'll take you to the website, but do you actually have just a website address?
I do, yes, sir. So that's to make it really, really clear. There's two QR codes on that flyer that might be confusing, but I have a landing page where it's a website that has pictures, information about me. There's one of Ruth on there. But so, yes, it's triangleprayerroom.com/Jacob is my landing page where you can go and read more about me, and there's also a way you can click at the bottom of that page if you want to go on from there and give. But to try to make it as simple with the QR code as possible, the other QR code at the bottom will take you directly to how you give directly to me through that platform. So I can show you how. It's kind of hard to explain with that visual.
That's okay. Then the other question is, RDU, is that Raleigh-Durham University? What's RDU stand for?
I wondered that for the longest time. I recently learned. So I think it's an airport term that they've adopted for Raleigh-Durham. Oh, it just okay. means Raleigh-Durham. Right. Because they always use the three letters to abbreviate RDU, so that's what they adopted. Yes, I thought university too, but no, apparently not. Nah, there's a lot of universities there, but that's not one of them. Yes, triangleprayerroom.com /Jacob. So just /my first name at the end. That's it. I can show you how to if you need me to
I'll make sure
pull
I'll
it up.
It out.
Thank you, Gladys. I really appreciate it.
And maybe we'll hold a QR code training session. You can see what our technology does.
Yes. We'll have a seminar in a side room. Breakout session. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Nanny. I can leave more flyers here. Leave my number. You can reach out to me. One thing that's important to me in my heart is, like, if you want to give, I would love to connect with you, like I was sharing earlier, to hear how I can pray for you, get to know what dreams the Lord's put on your heart, what you're believing for, what he's called you to do, that I can pray for you. So would love to connect with you. I can get your email address. In the very early stages of building a monthly newsletter to keep you guys updated with more details as God does things through each month. So, and there's testimonies each month I can share and try to come back and visit and keep you guys updated. But if you do want to give me your email, I will have a piece of paper with me. Just come grab me. So, yes. I plan on it. I love coming back. This is a special place. Well, thank you all so much. Yes. God bless you guys. Can I just close this with some prayer and then we can transition? I still have 50 seconds. So. Okay, awesome. Yes. Heavenly Father, we just say we love you. You are our Father in heaven. We say hallowed be your name. God, we say thank you for what you're doing. God, in the midst of a time where there's just unprecedented just pressures and things happening, in our generation and in the world, Lord, that you're doing something in the body of Christ, that you're doing something in the nations of the earth that's also unprecedented. We say thank you for what you're doing, God. While the darkness seems to be increasing, so is your light, God. We just say thank you that we won't see that in the news, but in your heart, we know you're doing something, Father. So, Lord, we just say thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for Walnut Grove and what you're even doing here, God. I just thank you for these amazing people who have hearts after you, God, and I just pray they leave this time encouraged. I just ask that you would give us grace by your Spirit to pray, to seek your face, God. We ask you, teach us. Just Jesus, as you taught your disciples, teach us how to pray what's on your heart, that we would pray for your will to be done and your kingdom to come. Here in Avery County, God, in Mitchell, and the places you've placed us, Lord, we ask that your kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. So I just say thank you for each person here. I pray you'd bless them as they leave, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.